welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri. He's back, baby. He's back in the flesh. You can only keep him down for so long before he returns. Chris, how does it feel to be back on Inside Boxing Live, your vehicle, your program?
Hey, we've how much I missed it. I missed a week, and I'm like, I feel so out of the loop. I thought you guys fired me. I thought I was going to have to like beg for my job.
No. We had Rob Tebbit fill in, our British friend from Boxing News. Nice. And he had a very funny line to start the show. He's like, Chris Algieri, model, you know, picture of health, a specimen. And he still gets taken down, but me and Dan are here, the opposite. You know, bums, guts, can't even get through a DraftKings read. So what are we doing here? Why are you eating so well? Why don't you just eat like me and Rob?
I'm gonna date ourselves here, because I'm even older than old man Dan. But do you remember The Simpsons, Mr. Burns?
Yes.
There was a scene where he was like, there was all the diseases were trying to get to the door at the same time, and they couldn't, so he was still healthy when everyone else was sick. So that's what it is. You guys are like New York sewer rats. You're gonna cockroaches. You're gonna last forever.
But you're feeling better. What was it like? I don't know how many details you want to get into. I saw you put it on Instagram that you're eating steak got you through it. As of course, red blooded American. Is there anything that you want to share with us before we get into the topics?
I mean, apparently it's going around. It's a wicked stomach flu. It had me down way longer than I expected. I had 2 days that I was like, I'm dying. And then I had 2 days that were like, this is terrible. And then like 2 days of being like, all right, this still sucks. But it was a long time. It was a 6 full days of sickness. And you know, listen, I'm a nutritionist. When you have a stomach flu, there are certain foods you're supposed to eat. There's certain foods you're not supposed to eat. So I'm like, all right, easy digestible carbs, carbs, no protein, whatever. After day four, I'm like, this is not working. Day six, I'm like, if I'm going to get sick, I might as well just eat some food that I want and I like. So I made myself a nice short rib beef barbecue. Wow. Ate that. Next day, I was 100%.
Must have felt amazing. 100%. That meal must have been legendary, generational for you.
It was just like, you know, after 5 days of eating basically just like
baby food,
like kid food. Like I was eating white rice, white bread. Like not even. It was like, you know, like white bread. Ugh. It was not fun. Buttered toast, like buttered pasta. I felt like a 4-year-old. But
that's what I eat when I have no food left. Steak.
Yeah. It was like college kid leftover food.
Exactly. End of the month, you're down, you have no moment, your meal plan is expended.
I'm a world champion. I eat steak every day if I want.
Speaking of that, like you did lose weight. Like I think you can come back at 140.
Yeah, everybody's been saying that. Like this week, they're like, bro, you been working out? I'm like, no. not at all. That's another thing. That was a week of not working out at all. I did nothing physical. That's weird.
Finally, kick Broner's ass.
He can't make whatever weight there.
He's fighting at Broner weight.
Going to say. All right, Broner weight's like 62.
Happy you're better. We'll be in Vegas next week. Crazy enough, you were in New York where we're going to do a lot of content, but it happens, man. So happy you're here. And talking about weight. That's a segue right there. Talking about losing weight, gaining weight. Terrence Crawford, we'll start here, reportedly offers Spence the rematch at 147 and not 154. This is according to Steven Nelson, who was the stablemate of Crawford. He got on Twitter and was divulging camp secrets. This has got people up in arms because you have the Spence contingent who says, you know what? You know, our guy Spence made concessions. To get this fight done, he gave up a lot of money on his side to have this fight at 147. Crawford, after the fight, said, I'll do a rematch at 154. What's a man without his word? But if you look at the contract, this is a sport of contracts. Chris, you know this. You have signed contracts. You have tried to get out of contracts. The winner gets to dictate the weight. The loser got to put the rematch into place. Spence put the rematch into place. My thing is, why wouldn't Crawford go for 147? Why are you giving Spence an advantage? It's hand-to-hand combat. Thoughts?
So why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he is because if he goes up to 54, they fight at 54, and he does the same thing to Spence, there's no question. Crawford's the better man. He's always been the better man. If he goes down to 40, if they fight at 47 again, there's always going to be that question mark. Well, I was weight drained. You know, all of Spence's squad has been saying it was the weight. At 54, it's a different fight. So Crawford, if he goes to 54 and beats him, man, you're the man. You beat Spence no matter what. It puts that baby to rest. I mean, I think it does anyway, but still, that's the mindset there. Also, Crawford doesn't have to whittle himself down to 147. Making 147 for him is not easy either. But the fact that he's trying to, well, Let me preface that, actually. The source. I'll believe this when I hear it from the horse's mouth. This could be gamesmanship.
You don't believe Nelson?
I'm not saying I don't believe him. I'm just saying that I know that Crawford, even when it comes from Crawford, he's got some gamesmanship to him, man. He likes to put out feelers, put out things on Twitter, on X, and he'll throw some stuff out there to get people talking. He likes messing with people. He likes messing with the public.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. So that made me think of it a little bit. But also, okay, so if you get down to it, let's get down to brass tacks. If Crawford wants to fight at 47, that means he doesn't want the fight. He's looking for bigger fish. He already got the big fish. Now he's looking for the bigger fish. He's looking for the big money. Because he's got that guaranteed payday against Spence, and likely he's going to beat him again. 47 or 54, in my opinion. Mm. But there could be potential fights with a Canelo. And as big as the money is for the Spence rematch, it's nothing like Canelo money. So he might be looking for something bigger. Could be Jermell Charlo, which is going to be bigger money than Spence.
You think so?
To me, what's that?
You think a Crawford-Charlo fight will be bigger than a Spence-Crawford rematch, even if Crawford, or even if Charlo loses to Canelo?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I think that the thirst for the rematch is very low. I don't know who really wants to see that again. The first one's hard to watch.
The only interest in the rematch was at 154.
Correct.
That was the only way you sell this to anyone.
Right. Right. So that's another thing. So if Crawford is even going to hurt his own bank account by saying, "Hey, we're going to have it at 47," that means he doesn't want the fight, because that's the interest for the fight is going to be nil.
You say he doesn't want the fight because he's looking to make more money. What I think is hilarious is seeing people on social media saying, "Ducking." He's ducking a fight.
It's media's favorite word.
Dude, ducking a fight from a guy he just pulverized is a brand new one. Listen, we've been around the sport for a long time, you and I. I'm in the trenches every day on X, on Instagram, reading these comments. Multiple, I'm seeing ducks. That's a first for me. How do you duck a guy that you just beat like a drum? That's how fans, short for fanatical.
Boxing fans.
All the way
boxing
around.
Boxing fans are some of the most spectacular... most spectacularly dumb people.
They're dumb, but they're passionate.
Yeah.
Passionately dumb.
Spectacularly so.
Fanatically really into
the
sport.
We're both boxing fans too. We are dumb. We're suckers. Dumb. We fall for all the same stuff all over and over again. We're all going to get excited about it no matter what.
Yeah, if you follow the sport on a daily basis, you are something wrong with you.
Absolutely.
You're sick. Oh, yeah. You're sick. You're a glutton for punishment.
I used to think that, you know, to be a pugilist, to be a fighter, you had to have something wrong with you. Now I've come to realize that even being a fan.
No, the whole community is a bunch of sickos.
Yeah.
When we go to Vegas and we're under that tent, weirdo, 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 all of them. Mm-hmm. But we love the people that tune in every week to watch us on Inside Boxing Live. But here's my counter to what you're saying. I 100% agree. Like, it's a way for Crawford to, one, get an advantage in the fight, because he could probably make 147 better than Spence can. It's pretty clear.
Definitely.
To get out of the fight, which we think will flop, but Crawford has a guarantee. He has a minimum that he's going to get paid. Will it do as well as the first one that did around 700K? No. Maybe do even half of that. My counter to this is in this very same tweet from Stephen Nelson, who is the stablemate of Crawford. He goes, Crawford has his eyes on bigger. He has his eyes on Canelo. Canelo's at 168. Crawford has talked about wanting to go up there. Wouldn't it make sense for Crawford's next fight to be at 154? Kind of work your way up to 168, work your way up to Canelo. I understand Canelo's a smaller guy, but we've talked about this on the show too. It's a different type of bulk that Canelo has. Well, what'd you call it? Mature weight?
Muscle maturity, yeah.
Yeah, I learn stuff from you every week here on the show. Wouldn't it make sense if Crawford took the fight at 154, gradually work his way up, bigger weights?
It's 35, man. Not that much time.
Mm.
The Canelo train's going by fast, bro. You got to jump on it. And Crawford's looking to jump on it. He's trying to make that generational money. I don't blame him. And I don't think bulking up is going to help him against Canelo anyway. He's going to have to go there and be a supreme master boxer. It's not going to be about size. It's not going to come down to that. It's going to come down to his ability to move those legs, stay away. Canelo's got slow feet. If Crawford can move for 12 rounds, where putting on extra weight's really not going to help him. He's just got to be able to deal with the power and explosion of Canelo and not get hit, and also get enough respect with his own, you know, appreciable and respectable power But yeah, I don't think the size is going to matter. So I don't think taking time to build into the weight class or grow into the weight class is going to happen. He did that at welterweight. He did that in order to beat Spence. He needed that in order to beat Spence. I don't think he needs that in order to beat Canelo.
Size doesn't matter. Chris Algieri, clip that, Riley. In this case. How about another hypothetical here? Spence, let's say Spence beat Crawford in the same way Crawford beat Spence. What were we talking about when we heard about this announcement from PBC and Canelo, right? Me and you did a reaction video. You were drinking a margarita. You were happy. I was happy because we knew we were going to get some big fights. One of the three fights we were wishing for was Canelo-Spence.
Yep.
So who's to say Spence, with the same language that's in the contract right now, would not have done this to Crawford? This is boxing. Oh, yeah. You need every advantage you can get. Who's not to say that Spence would say, you know what, we're doing the rematch at 147. It's a tactical play, like I just said, and it's also a play inside of the ring. And you know what, I want Canelo. I mean, the general public wants it. If Spence won that fight, he would have been number one.
Or actually, Dan, I think it would be the opposite. So I think if Spence was the guy to get the win at 47, at the rematch, you go, we're going to do it at 54. I already beat you. I beat you in your weight class. Now you're going to come to mine. I'm going to beat you there.
You think you would have done that?
It could have been a way to not to get it. Like you said, it could have been a way to get out of the fight in order to get the Canelo, which is what I think it looks like that what Crawford's trying to do.
Well, I think it's very clear what Crawford's trying to do. I mean, this obviously was what was put into the contract afterwards. Remember the first time through, the talks broke down. Crawford didn't have the correct representation. He had that hedge fund guy. It's very clear that Crawford got himself a good advisor. I don't know who it is. And they went back to the drawing board and they hatched up this plan for the rematch that I think benefited both guys. And I think both guys would have done this. I think both guys would have figured out a way to go up and get more money. They're both around the same age. I just think there's a lot of tribalism in boxing, a lot of fandom. There are people on Spence's side that are just straight up pissed at Crawford. Like, this is what I'm talking about. This guy, no wonder he can get big fights. He doesn't operate in good faith. You know, he doesn't, he's always looking to get out of fights. He's not looking to make fights. You know, Crawford got the chance from Spence. He should give him the fight at 154. Okay, that's great, but it's in a contract. A contract is a contract. Spence signed off on it, whether he wanted to or not, whether he wants to take credit, like he talked about all during the lead up in the press conferences. I made this fight happen literally up until the last day at the weigh-in, right? At the weigh-in or shook his hand and he said, look around, Spence. This is what Spence said to Crawford. This is all happening because of me. So it was very clear Spence wanted everyone to know all the concessions that he made. But one of the things in this contract was it could potentially, it's up to the winner to dictate the weight, which I think whoever put that in there is very, very brilliant.
Yeah, that was a very fair move. And it was one of the most rational things I've ever seen in a boxing contract. That was, I thought that was really cool. It was an interesting caveat to this whole discussion, this whole event. But yeah, no, I mean, listen, these guys talking about good faith, welcome to boxing.
Oh God.
There's no good faith in boxing. We talk about it all the time. This is the best sport in the world. It is the absolute worst business. And if it's not on paper, forget it.
Yeah, forget it.
It might as well be in the wind.
What do you think's going to happen? Gun to your head. Crawford is fighting who in December or January? And at what weight?
I think he might actually sit out.
Sit out? I think that would be horrible for us.
Yeah, it would be.
It would be interesting to see if Crawford, if Spence doesn't take it, does Crawford go up to 154? Because that kind of makes him look silly. Or does he defend his undisputed titles at 147? But that's the thing. If he stays at 147, there's Boots waiting, there's Stanionis. Like, these are fights that we've talked about a lot on the show that are not really... They're winnable, but they're not big. They're not huge.
No, they're not what he's looking for.
Not what he's looking for. So I think Crawford obviously called their bluff, and now we're going to see what Crawford does if it's not Spence. I think if he doesn't fight Spence next, I think his next fight is at 154, and Crawford doesn't care what anyone thinks anyway about him. So he might just be like, yeah, I'm doing it at 154 against a Zoo or a Mendoza or Fandora or anyone at 154.
I think it's all going to come down to what happens next week. We got Charlo Canelo next week. Canelo Charlo, excuse me, next week. You know, in 10 days from now, we're going to be on the other side of that fight.
True.
And that's going to give us something. You know, are we going to see a Charlo upset and now we got a whole new thing to discuss? Or are we going to see what's most likely going to happen and Charlo loses? And then he's got options to go back down. He could go right into the Crawford fight right off of the Canelo fight, which would be back to back massive fights, big, big money.
Charlo?
Yeah, Charlo and going right to a Crawford fight, which is that's a big fight.
I don't
that's
know
really
if there's a
fight.
Rematch clause in the Canelo Charlo deal. I'll have to look that up.
I'm sure it's unilateral if it is.
Yeah, if Charlo defeats Canelo, there's 100% going to be a rematch.
Yes. But which, if I'm Charlo, I would want that. Cool, we'll fight again.
You fight him 10 more times if you could.
Yeah.
But as long as that money, it's the cash cow. Interesting stuff. It's all intertwined. This is why I love Crawford calling out a Canelo, and a lot of people look downgraded, but there's a way to connect 147 all the way up to 168 right now, and all four of the guys were on the pound-for-pound list. I don't know where you have Spence. So that's intriguing. That's fun to me. It lends itself to some fun discussions. Big Bang Zhang, our boy, came to the office 2 weeks ago, thumb wrestled Justin Penick once again.
Again?
Yeah.
Oof, they got a rivalry going on now,
huh? Here's something hilarious. Someone on Big Bang Zhang's team, not the Lane brothers, slipped Penick a 20 and said, don't
take
win.
A dive.
Don't win. Welcome. That's the most boxing thing ever.
Most boxing thing ever.
Penick came
did
up to me.
The guy with a cigar in his mouth?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Hey, come over here. They're in a shadowy alley. Like, Penick came up to me. He's like, yo, one of the guys gave me $20 to lose. And I was crying laughing. I couldn't get over that. And Penick looked shocked. And I was, to me, it was just like, yeah, that's boxing.
You should have went to Penick. Ask for 40. Next time,
I said that.
40.
And also I said, where's my cut?
Right.
Like, yeah, I want 3% of that. Your next three fights.
You got to, you know, kick back to the big man. Come
that's
on.
How boxing works. Like, everyone gets paid for years
everyone
on end.
Everyone gets
for years on end, I own Penick and likewise. So Big Bang Zhang is facing Joe Joyce this weekend. It is the rematch of their first fight. Probably doesn't need a rematch, but rematch clauses are part of boxing. Zhang was just unbelievable against Joyce in the first fight. With a simple 1-2, it's all you need when you're that big and you're that effective and your opponent cannot get out of a way of a left hand. It was Zhang's left just closing the eye of Joe Joyce. Dominant performance, a huge upset at the time. I believe, I got to check DraftKings to see who exactly is the favorite. I believe Zhang is a slight favorite, but I'm excited. You know, there hasn't been a lot of big fights. Hasn't been a lot of big fights in the last couple of weeks. We went a full, like, Mexican weekend without a major fight. I know that Zepeda fought last week, and we're going to touch on that next. But Zhang versus Joyce, I like this fight. Even we're going to see if Joyce makes adjustments, because I think Zhang is going to fight the same way until he's done fighting, and that's southpaw stance 1-2. So will Joyce make the adjustments, Chris?
Listen, I like this fight the first time. I like it this time. I had a lot of fun watching it the first time. You got like those two bigger guys, like they're massive. Seeing him in the ring, it's almost comical. Like you're looking at two juggernauts, even though that's Joyce's name, but like you're looking at two giant human beings that are just throwing bombs at each other. So yeah, I'm excited for this fight. As long as it lasts, it's going to be good. I actually think it's going to be more competitive than last time, but it's going to be the same result.
How is it more competitive? How does that, like, what has to happen?
Joyce needs to come in at his more natural weight. He doesn't need to be so lean. He doesn't need to be so light. He needs to be a super heavyweight. He's fighting another big man. He's got to avoid that left hand. He's got to fight at a better pace. He fought at Zhang's pace last time. That's one thing about Zhang. We've seen him fade in fights. His gas tank can hurt him at times. The Ergovich fight, he didn't have kidney failure.
That was a different fight. That was another fight. His kidneys just straight up failed.
Well, that was Jerry Forrest. That's why everyone's like really down on Zhang. But he just had a bad night. He was very dehydrated fighting in Miami. But the Ergovich fight, I think, should have put that all to rest, because that was a high output fight with another very, very talented guy. And there was ebbs and flows in that fight, and it looked like there were times where Zhang was going to keel over, but then he roared back. So that's the thing. You have to set a pace on Zhang, and Joyce didn't do that. And which is funny, because Joyce is a pace guy, which is why I was predicting him to win the first fight. He's a pace guy, and he's super durable. He had no pace. He looked flat, and he could not get it away with the left hand. So if he's going to be in this fight and at least make it competitive for a little while, he's got to set a faster pace and he's got to get out of the way of that left hand. The issue with that is Zhang's also got a right hook. He's got a really sneaky, sharp check hook that he throws in. We saw the Ergovich fight. It's sneaky. It's a really good punch, man. It's really hard to see. He throws it with you. As the guy throws the right hand, he dips his head offline and whoop, and whips that little check hook in there. It's a nice shot. I thought that was actually going to be the punch against Joyce the first time, but he didn't need to even go to that. The left hand couldn't miss. So But I still think it's going to be a good fight. This is Rock'em Sock'em Robots with these two.
Hey, this is my heavyweight championship. We're not getting the heavyweight fights we want, so let's start celebrating the heavyweight fights we're getting. I agree with a lot of what you said. I think Joyce needs to survive the first four rounds. And then...
Without taking so much damage.
Right, without taking so much
damage.
He'll
get there, but he needs to not get his face smashed open.
Right, his eye can't be closed at the start of round five. He has to survive the first four rounds. Even if you lose two of them, lose three of them, just don't have that eye closed. Don't get too much punishment. And like you said, take Zhang into deep waters, and then that's your best chance to win. I still think Zhang will win. He is a slight favorite, plus 105. This is pretty much a pick'em fight. I'm putting my money down on Zhang. I just think he's got a ton of momentum right now. I think Joyce, I wouldn't say overrated, but he was getting a lot of hype after the Parker fight. You know, he is 38 years old himself. I understand heavyweight's age.
Remember, I was not high on him, and you kept telling me on Joyce. You kept telling me on Joyce,
yeah, but
and
that
then
Parker
fight happened. And I was like, you know what? This guy, he's got something.
He's got something, and it got quickly taken away. So the doubters are saying, like, listen, you know, Joyce is a creation of the media. He's a creation of a small pool at heavyweight. He's just been fighting a lot. He's funny. He kind of has a cool profile, Joyce. I think a lot of people are counting him out, but I do think Zhang just has a lot of momentum going right now. I love this fight. I'm pumped for it. We're not getting a lot of heavyweight fights at the moment. Tyson Fury, not that I want to bring him up on the show. Ronnie shakes his head almost immediately. We're training him very well over here. I am watching at home with the Furies, but I'm separating the two Furies. There's a million Furies, number one. He has like 45 kids. He just had another kid. Did you see that?
Good for him.
Another one.
Get that champion gene out there.
Well, he went on. He also went on Barstool's Sunday Conversation with Caleb Presley. It's one of the best things Barstool puts out, not to talk about our competitor. But he went on and he reiterated the seven times a day choking the chicken. I don't know where I'm going.
I mean, the proof's in the pudding. The guy's putting out kids too. So obviously. You know,
Tyson Fury famously masturbates seven times a day. He said it a few years ago and it made its rounds, but then he said it on Sunday Conversation with Caleb Presley and it made its rounds again.
Didn't know that.
Chokes the chicken.
Okay.
That's what he said.
Talk about dating yourself. Choking the chicken. Our young listeners don't even know
that's
means.
What he said on the show.
He's my age too. So.
He said it. He he's 35. He looks like he's 50. He has the disposition of a 55 year old.
So he's
man.
Your age.
Can you do Tyson a Tyson Fury, Fury accent?
Sorry. Come on! Seven times a day, choke the chicken. Come on! Dude, that's him. I watched the show on Netflix. It's hilarious. I have to separate the two because I find myself laughing at the show. I watch it with the girl and she loves it.
Now listen, as a personality, he's great. As a current heavyweight world champion, he sucks.
Yeah, because Maria's like, why don't you like him? I was like, he's not giving us the fights we want.
He's ruining what we know,
yes,
what we need.
he's defacing our beautiful sport. No, the one of the episodes, it's when he was calling out. Remember when he gave Joshua 48 hours to accept like all these terms? That's what they're talking about. Then he ultimately settles on fighting Dillian White or something last year, one of his two horrible fights that no one wanted to watch. My point, a little big roundabout way, is we're not getting the fights we want. Fury is, he's just in an interview. He's obviously getting ready for Ngannou, and he's saying, after this fight, I want to do a Hollywood movie, and I'm going to fight Jon Jones. And what about Usyk? He's like, what about him? What about Joshua? He's like, he called Joshua a bum, or he's the janitor that sweeps up the gym.
He didn't use the Dosser term.
He's past that.
He's off the Dosser.
Point being, let's start watching the heavyweights that want to fight, like the Usyks of the world. Zhang, who I think is in a great shot to get some big fights. Joyce seems like a guy that always wants to give it a go. Wilder, Ruiz, Fury. Joshua, I can't even put in that class. Joshua is at least fighting people. But it looks like Joshua Wilder... Believe it or not, I know you're just going to be a shock to many that Saudi money is not happening.
Not real.
It's real. It's out there. I just don't think they
Not for what they said. They dangled that carrot.
Right. They did, so that fight is falling apart right before our eyes. But Joshua at least is staying active. It's not the fights we want to see him in. Unless you are into watching Joshua fight a juiced up Robert Hellenius or Jerry Forrest or
Franklin.
Heavyweight division's a freaking mess. But this weekend we have a fun one. Did you watch last week while you were going through the stomach problems? William Zepeda dominates Mercito Hesta, as only William Zepeda can, Chris. 618 punches in 16 minutes. An average of 103 thrown per round. 53% accuracy with the power shot. Over 40% accuracy with his total punches. 27% accuracy with his jab. He is really, really fun to watch. What is his ceiling? Who's next? Because I think, I don't know if I can watch another fight of him just bludgeoning guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think any other weight class, he's a world champion right now. Mm. But he's in a super stacked division. I don't think he beats any of those top guys. The Shakurs, the Javantes, the Haneys. I would like to see him. Listen, him and Isaac Cruz. Woo! That's a fun fight. That's a fun fight right there. I think that would be, you know, he's so overwhelming. And obviously, like, those numbers are very impressive. Hey, listen, Hesta's been around a very long time. We've never really seen him blown out. You know, he's been scraping by lately because, you know, he's an older guy, but he's still capable. For him to get blown out with numbers like that, that's really impressive, even, you know, even at this stage of his career for
Zepeda. Zepeda beat Gesta better than Ryan Garcia did.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. I mean, listen, Zepeda's a nightmare to fight. He's all over you. And he throws a ton of punches. He's got decent power. It's not like he's a feather-fisted guy. Whoa. He breaks you down. He beats you up. He looks to get you out of there. I haven't seen anything but a good chin from him. I haven't seen, you know, that. I haven't seen him really get checked yet. But also at the same time, like, he's been deterred by anyone thus far. But I do want to see him with those upper echelon guys. I think he beats everybody in the weight class that's just below, you know, those tip-top guys.
He famously declined a fight with Shakur Stevenson. After the fight, he said in perfect English, "I want Devin Haney." Mm-hmm. Devin Haney's not at 135 anymore. So there are some things that you just roll your eyes at, general boxing things after a fight, what fighters say.
Nobody wants to fight Shakur, though, Dan.
We'll get
Nobody
to that in
wants
a second.
To fight Shakur.
We'll get to that. But Zepeda is ranked second by the WBA. I know we don't like to acknowledge all these sanctioning bodies. He's top 10 in every organization. WBA is his highest at 2.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. What? Rightfully so of us not talking about them?
No, about him being the top 10 of our ranking. Yeah.
Yeah, both.
But yeah.
He's 2 with the WBA. And the reason I bring this up is because Haney is jumping up to 140. He already has one belt gone. That's a WBC belt, 135, which Shakur is now fighting De Los Santos for. So that means that Gervonta Davis is going to get elevated to regular champion at WBA via email. That's a whole slice of irony right now, right there. The email champion of 2023 could be Gervonta Davis. So that means that Zepeda is going to move up a rung, and Cruz is number one. Cruz is probably going to fight Gervonta. Zepeda, if he wants to go the route of forcing his way into a title fight with a Gervonta Davis, it would be through the WBA. That would be a fun fight. A Shakur fight would be fun. Anything he makes for a fun fight, because we need to see, number one, is he going to throw that volume at a Gervonta Davis, who best counterpuncher arguably in boxing? Is he going to land those punches on a Shakur Stevenson at 135? There's George Camposos out there. There's some other names here. Isak Cruz that you brought up that you liked. Jermaine Ortiz, probably not going to get that fight because he's with Top Rank. So Zepeda's in a good spot. I want to see him fight bigger fights. I think he's like 28 years old. So that's what happened last weekend. It wasn't exactly a very, very busy weekend in boxing. You brought up Shakur. Shakur did a podcast, most $1 million worth of game. Are you familiar with that pod?
I am not.
Okay. Shakur went on it, and he made some good points, and he made some questionable points. Since the last time you went on the show, Chris, it's been a few weeks. Shakur is now fighting Edwin De Los Santos.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that fight?
I don't hate it. Right. Edwin De Los Santos, he's on a good run right now.
Yes, he is.
His only loss is to William Foster Jr. by split decision a couple years back. And we actually just had him on our air on Pro Box. That kid's super good. And that was a very close fight. Probably could have gone either way. But he looked really good. He fought Joseph Adorno. And he fought Joe at 135, where Joe really belongs. He's been actually campaigning at 140. He gave Elvis Rodriguez all he can handle at 140,
yep,
which is impressive. Joe can punch. Joe's durable. And I've never seen him dominated the way that Edwin Dos Santos did.
He boxed his ears off.
Boxed his ears off. He looked wildly impressive to me. Boxing skills, good power, conditioning. He had it all that night. So,
and
yeah,
then
Who did he knock out? He knocked out two guys in a row. He knocked out
a bigger name. I had it last week.
It's Valenzuela, for PBC.
But about meeting, yeah.
And then he knocked out another undefeated kid right before that or right after that. Yeah. So yeah, he's on a tear right now. And I, from what I saw in that Adorno fight, he's really come into his own in terms of what he is as a pro. So I don't hate the fight. It's not the fight we want. It's not the fight anybody wants, but we need Shakur Stevenson to be active, man. And if this is the guy that's going to step in, don't hate it. I think I want to see what he can do. And listen, Davis Santos is coming to win. He's not going to be like in awe of Shakur Stevenson. He's going to come. He might not be able to hit much, but he's going to try.
Yeah, I talked about this last week. I like the fight, like where I said this is a pro Shakur Stevenson show. I know he's getting dragged every which way now simply for wanting fights.
For
a lot of things. Mostly the 75-25 Haney offer is being thrown back in his face.
Yeah, we spoke about that a little bit on air.
It's getting thrown back in his face. We talked about it. I said he should have took the fight.
Yeah.
You said the same thing,
too. Yeah, we talked about it, yeah.
So I'm not, like, defending Shakur for not doing
it. You asked
me
if I would have took it.
Yeah.
I would have took it.
Exactly. And he went on this podcast this week, and he pretty much insinuated that there was, like, $30 million in the pot for a undisputed fight against Haney, which seems high.
I'd be surprised.
And with the 75-25 split, Haney was going to make $24 million, and Shakur was going to get the six, seven range. And Shakur was like, no, that's ridiculous. Why is Haney making that much more? You know, it's a top rank fight. We're both top rank fighters. That's ridiculous. It's still more than Shakur would ever make, but his problem seems to be like Haney getting that much of the line share, which.
Yeah. Don't look at your opponent's bank account.
I saw a lot of those comments.
It's still a $6-7 million payday, bro. Like that's a lot of money. And with a win, there's way more coming. And, you know, I know that's a tough way to look at it. And I know a guy like Shakur doesn't really have to think like that, but I'm coming from where I'm coming from as a fighter. Like I didn't have any opportunities. I just had to take everyone that was, and I had to always think like, all right, this is going to get me to the next step. This is going to get every fight for me was going to get me to the next rung. I couldn't look ahead because there was no future. My future was built by my right foot in front of my left foot. So very different situation for me. So for me saying that I would have done it, it's not the same thing. I'm not the same thing as Shakur.
Right. But you understand the irony here of Shakur being upset at Frank Martin for not taking the split and him not taking the split. And it happened in like a month span, 2 month span. A guy that now is being branded as the boogeyman of boxing right now, which is, of course, Steven, a guy, the most duck fighter, the most avoided fighter. But you had an offer from Devin. I don't know how real that offer even was, because look at Haney. He didn't even defend. He's not fighting at 135 anymore. He just gave up one of his titles. He's, like, that was mandated 75-25, and now he's fighting for Haney's vacant belt. One of the many things going on in the sport right now. Before we say goodbye, Chris, did you see this? Sports Pod Group has nominated us for Best Combat Sports Podcast for the second year in a row.
Whoa. That's not really surprising. If we got it for the first year, come on.
We are going up against some heavy hitters, Ariel Helwani, Chris Mannix, the IFL TV podcast, George Groves, The Darker Side of Boxing. Never watched that. Luke Thomas and Brian Campbell, Morning Combat, our boys.
Love those guys.
But our enemies now.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, this is, we're here now. Well, I'm here now. I am friends and enemies with all the same people.
Colleagues.
It's different when you're media, that's what it is.
It's different for, yeah, you have to get used to, like, I've been going after the Mannixes of the world and the Brian Campbells of the world. That's like you when you're at 140 looking, or 147 looking at the names. Provodnikov, Pacquiao. I'm looking at Mannix. I'm looking at you, Campbell. Coming for you.
You're doing the Rocky picture on the mirror. You've got.
I have all the nerds.
Mannix's face. You've got Luke Campbell.
I actually like Luke Campbell.
Ariel Helwani.
I like Ariel too. Ariel's my boy. Ariel has helped me.
I said this about Manny Pacquiao. You don't have to mate the man to destroy the man.
It's true.
You need to get ahead of him.
We got to win. Everyone go out and vote. I'm going to put it in our social media.
And the description of this video.
Description in the, in, on YouTube. Some
winners only.
You got to win. I don't like that they kind of like put them all into one. It's just a combat sport, so it's wrestling podcast. This MMA podcast, like Ariel.
That's Helwani, tough because the MMA population is really big.
It's huge, and they're like crazy. Like like Ariel Helwani's been doing it for like 15 years and. Morning Combat, but it's just, I hate to say this.
Yeah, but this
cliche
shows you
line.
How fast we're moving.
That's what
bro.
I mean. Like, I hate to be cliche. Just happy to be nominated?
No.
No.
Hell no.
I
no.
hate that.
We're
line.
Here to win. Like, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not happy to not, like, yeah, of course we got recognized. I mean, that's first stepping foot in the door.
Right.
You know, getting ranked, you know, is part of it. You got to get ranked in order to get to,
right.
get to the title shot. Mm. But that's what we're here for.
Anything else this weekend? You're on the call, right? You'll be in Pro Box, and you have a DAZN. Richardson Hitchens versus Jose Zepeda.
I like that fight. I like that fight. Two old sparring partners of mine. Two buddies of mine.
We think Hitchens is going to win, right?
I mean, Hitchens is he's streaking, and I think that this fight was made for a reason. I think Zepeda is where he's at this point of his career. I think he's becoming a test. For guys, you know, he had so many title shots, right? He always fell short. He had that last one against Pearl Gray, came back with a win recently, trying to get back to it. And then Hitchens is having an amazing run these last couple
win.
Fights.
Do you think he can knock him out? Because I'm trying to put my parlay together. I haven't done one in a while. I'm obviously picking Zhang. Zhang and Hitchens money line gets you plus 116. That's just overview. I'm just looking at it over, like, quick. I haven't looked at the actual... methods of victory. Can Hitchens
it's
going to
depend
out?
How much Zepeda has left. He went 11 with Progre.
Yeah, he can survive rounds.
Hitchens, no, he's terrible. I mean, he's been around a long time. He's got 40 plus pro fights. I mean,
Hitchens isn't exactly like, you know, he's not Gervonta Davis. I mean, he's a technical
fighter.
No,
he's not a puncher by any means. Great sharp boxer, breaks guys down, doesn't take chances, you know, so that kind of lowers his KO percentage. He's really big for the weight class, though. You know, physically, he cuts a lot of weight, and he's big, he's long, so he's a difficult guy to deal with. And Zepeda's not a real 40-pounder, never has been.
So Zhang by KO parlayed with Hitchens money line plus 205.
Okay,
that's my play this weekend.
I'm wondering. I almost got a funny feeling that Zhang's going to go the distance.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be competitive. I feel like this is the fight that the first fight should have been. I don't know. Mm. Joyce just shit the bed the first fight. I don't know if he's going to. I think he might show up this time.
Awesome weekend of fights. Home games for you, Florida. I will be watching the fights this weekend, and then we all will converge on Las Vegas, Nevada without Ronnie.
Ronnie, you're not coming, bro?
Why'd you guys have to remind me?
We have Alex Grapp coming with us. We have to break in another producer.
Sending one of my best guys.
I love Alex. Ronnie works with him very closely. He says he's a good guy. Is he gonna be distracted by the bright lights of Las Vegas?
He is a gambler.
He's a gambler.
He is a gambler.
So we're not gonna even see him.
I don't care what he does after
fight
8
week. We're gonna produce no content.
Yeah,
there's gonna be nothing.
PPV.com would not be happy with that. I don't care what he does until after 8 p.m. As long as he gets the content out, because we have so much great content coming your way.
Listen, I'll set him straight.
Is he 30 yet? Is he under 30?
He's under 30.
That's a problem, Chris.
But he's on the cusp.
Has he been 30. To Vegas before?
He has.
Yeah, that's a plus.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's a plus.
Alex Grapp.
That's a plus.
So three Vegas trips. We've had three producers. We had Dre.
We got to train new people every time.
We had a sit down yesterday. Me, Ronnie, and Alex, and it felt like I was like talking to my son, like teaching him like what to do, what not to do. Listen, we're gonna be getting a lot of run and gun content. Mm. You know, late nights, early mornings.
Just tell your
steak dinners.
Tell these fighters not to have fights.
Dude,
when
those.
I'm busy.
Sorry, Ronnie. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, tell your fighters not to have fights when I'm busy, because then I can just be.
Well,
guy.
You're always busy.
Well, you know.
So we're gearing up to play Blitzball, Billy's Sports Bar in the Bronx. Anyone watching that lives in the New York metro area, Sunday, October 1st, we'll be at Billy's Sports Bar in the Bronx.
Billy's in the Bronx.
Playing Blitzball, man.
Playoffs.
The playoffs. I need a win. We have a live stream on Thursday. Mm. I've been struggling at the plate, Chris. Do you have any advice?
Dude, it's all about your focus, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on at home. I don't know what you got to leave it at the door, bro. You got
to leave it at the door at the warehouse. Mound.
Leave it.
No,
at
I'm pitching
the,
fine. I can't hit a lick.
Yeah, well, that's up here, man. It's all up here. Mm. You got the physicality. Mm.
Do I though?
Having problems at home? You having problems at home?
No problems at home. Home is great. I can't hit these
pitches. Problems at work?
No, I'm loving it here. So I don't
Boxing
know.
Boxing got you down? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I've been. That's a lifelong.
is it the
problem.
Heavyweight division, Dan? Is it the heavyweight division? Is that what you're thinking about the plate?
At the plate, I'm like, why won't Fury fight anyone? Yeah.
Maybe you gotta up your choking the turkey out a little more.
Choking the turkey.
Oh, that's what I
maybe
say.
No. You're probably not doing it enough.
Exactly. You gotta up.
I don't even want to say what is on
Come
my
on,
mind.
Come on, rookie numbers. Rookie numbers, man. Up
I did them. Think about. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Last Thursday, I made a decision.
Oh no.
Dan, what about a little supplement routine?
I've been floated that to some of the guys here. I go down to Florida.
I know a guy.
I go down to Florida.
Who was A-Rod's guy?
Tony Bosch.
Yeah.
Biogenesis.
What's he up to now these days?
I need a cousin.
Listen, a mutual friend of ours was just in Tijuana. So
okay.
You might
Irving?
Have some nice, fresh Mexican subs.
I just outed it him. Help. Yeah, I would love to do PEDs. I would love to be on testosterone, clofenamine, all of them, so I can throw 110 miles an hour, hit everything.
I don't know why you wouldn't. Is there drug testing?
No.
No.
I think we need one. We think the Blitzball League needs a drug scandal. And I'm ready to be that guy.
Be the face of
I'm ready
PEDs.
To be the A-Rod of
I'm ready to be I'm ready to be the doctor. I'll be the Victor Conti Balco.
Yeah, you're the Victor Conti here. And it's not so much about I can throw the ball pretty hard. It's the recovery. The next 2 days my body's killing me.
That's why you do the drugs.
That's why you do the drugs.
PEDs. Yeah, we'll be at Billy's on Sunday, October 1st, yes. In person. Warehouse Games Production will feature 2 semifinal games, maybe even more games. We're talking about adding more games. Mm-hmm. Followed by a championship game, Blitzball will take place Sunday, October 1st, 11 a.m. We have early access tickets for $100. This gets you in Billy's an hour early. You can meet old man Dan. You can shake Jake's hand. He went one round with Algeri. You get a Blitzball t-shirt. You get an event badge. And you also get put into a raffle to get into content. I think that's one of the coolest things we're offering.
Yeah.
So buy the $100 early access. It's well worth it. If not, you spend $30 to just get your regular general admission, which
it'll
be fun. All ages, families. I know it is a bar, but we have all ages. So go to shopjohnboy.com, shop.johnboymedia.com. Visit the link in the description to buy your tickets. We'll see you at Billy's. Good show, Chris. We're happy to have you back in the fold. Stay off
Good
the
toilet.
Good to
be alive and well.
Stay off.
It was touch and go there for a minute.
It's very. I was rattled. I'm not gonna lie. Like you're Superman to me. And to see you
yeah,
down.
Yeah, Courtney said that when we had our meeting yesterday. She was like, "Yeah, Dan was really worried about you." I was like, "No, it's fine."
I am a good friend. I'm not used to seeing you down, so I'm happy to see you back.
Yeah, that was rough, man. I appreciate it though. Thank you.
We'll see you next week, everyone. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of the DMs unless you have PEDs for me.
This time of year, everyone talks about going dry. But at Athletic Brewing Company, we're skipping that because we prefer going athletic, which isn't dry at all. From crisp goldens to hoppy IPAs and limited releases in between, you'll find something that fits your style. Every single non-alcoholic brew is packed with flavor and the same craft experience you love. So yeah, you could call it dry, but there's really nothing dry about it. Find your new favorite near beer at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.